Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we're going to shift gears, as we often do on this show, and I often say that we're often shifting gears, so deal with that and put up with me a little bit. But what's really interesting and exciting, and you'll hear it in my voice, is that, hey, we're getting up close to holidays, and holidays mean it's time to shop, right? And it's an exciting time of the year. You spend time with family and friends, and there's a lot of eating and all those good things. But there's also the day of reckoning that comes when you have to pay for all that. So we're real excited to bring back a returning guest, and you know the deal. If they come back, that means they have to be good. And of course, our guest today is Leslie Tain, is founder of Tain Law Group. She's an attorney and debt therapist, and a lot of interesting stuff about Leslie Tain. We only have a 27-minute show, so we're going to have to make it quick and short. But she's highly respected consumer and business debt-related attorney, advisor, and founder of the Tain Law Group. And she is recognized as an industry leader in a lot of areas. Business News Leadership Law Awards, honored as Long Island Business News Top Most Influential Women in Business. And she's been named a super lawyer for the Metro New York area. And she's also got this thing that she works on with debt. And I really find that crossover very interesting. So the website, let's see, we've got a website, which is for the book, lifeanddebtbook.com. The full name of the book, Learn to Love Your Debt, Life and Debt, A Fresh Approach to Achieving Financial Wellness. So Leslie, let's dive right in here. I know that you have a lot of things we could talk about, but we are already hearing about the Black Friday, that get up at 2 a.m. and rush down and wait in line for 4 hours. We're already hearing about those deals. So what do you say?
I say you might be able to get those deals if you're a really good shopper ahead of time, so you don't have to spend the entire night in a tent outside in the cold.
Yeah.
That is definitely ambitious. There are people who do that. They love the rush of doing it. It's a great opportunity to save money, but there are other opportunities to save money for those who don't want to get up in the middle of the night.
Thank you for that, because my wife has already told me that I am supposed to get up with her on Friday morning, the day after Thanksgiving, and get up and enter the hysteria and go and run around and, you know, fight for parking spots. And I'm like, you know, we could also, you know, the other option is we could sleep in and not get out of bed, reach over, grab our iPhone, and go on Amazon.com and buy all the stuff we need that way.
So that's an option, too. And sometimes if you wait a little bit, you can still get the same good deals.
Yeah.
If you wait a few days, or if you wait till just after Christmas, you can get those. It depends on what your needs are and if you have to have it at that moment. But I think a lot of that has to do with the rush and the excitement.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Of being up and going and doing. And there's definitely something to that.
Sure.
But it's really about saving money. There are a lot of options to save money without having to have a sleepless night.
Yeah, well, for her, it's definitely the excitement, and it's a tradition in her family. So that's what it's mostly about. But so I say my Amazon as kind of a tongue-in-cheek, knowing it won't work. Mm-hmm. But you make a great point that I'd like you to expand on, if you don't mind, Leslie, and that is the savings really depend on the product or what you're looking for. And I know that you wrote about in your Black Friday deals that you can get cheaper if you wait in your article over on credit.com, that you wrote about different things maybe being discounted more at certain times, or even they might be charging more than they would normally. So maybe we can break that down a little bit. What are some of the major categories?
There are a few major categories that during the holiday season that people focus on. So TV and other types of electronics, that is a crazy category, because there's so many electronic opportunities for purchase, and that Black Friday really capitalizes on the public wanting those particular electronics. Sometimes there are very deep discounts. To get TVs, I've seen some advertise get very large screen televisions for $100. I mean, those are some great deals. But, you know, sometimes you wait, because in those cases, like name brand TVs go on sale right around the Super Bowl. So if you really wanted to purchase a large new TV, that might be an opportunity to wait closer to the Super Bowl if you wanted to do something like that. Another category are jewelry and watches, winter clothing. Tools as well are big during the holiday season, but you can get things like jewelry and watches at other times of the year when there's not as much hype around the season. You might even get a better deal when jewelry is not selling as much, let's say during the summer season. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity to buy something during that time. You might even be able to negotiate a little bit more when a seller doesn't have as many customers coming in as opposed to the holiday season when they see an influx of customers for a particular product. So it's something to think about. And if you don't need the item for the Christmas season or the holiday season, then you can always play that waiting game and try to pick it up closer to the time that you do need it and give yourself the opportunity to really shop for the item that you want.
Okay.
Jewelry has really come down when we've seen the diamond business take a little bit of a hit recently and the gold business. Things have started to come down, so you may actually get an opportunity if that trend continues.
Well, that's a good way of viewing it. You know, you need to pick your moment. You know, pick your moment to strike on these different things because they do vary according to the time of the season. Now, you also mentioned, and that's why I was looking forward to talking with you, Leslie, because I knew there would be things that we could, you know, drill down a little bit further into that I knew you would have insight into. And that is, you mentioned about the negotiation. You know, how much, where can we negotiate? You know, if you have somebody that is their own store, I suppose that's, you know, the sole proprietor that we used to have, of course, all over America, which, of course, has changed with big boxes and all of the chains and whatnot. But where can you actually negotiate on price?
You can negotiate just about anywhere these days, and I would encourage people to do that. Even though it's a big store, they want to push merchandise just as badly as the little guy does. Nobody wants to be sitting on merchandise because that's not how you make money. You make money by selling your stock. So you can have the opportunity to call and negotiate. Always ask, is there a discount coupon that I'm not aware of? Is there a discount that you could apply to my purchase? And is there anything that I should know that could get the price down lower? Those are always good questions to ask, but absolutely, certainly in the jewelry business, even in the clothing business, and even in restaurants, there's lots of ways to save money by just asking the simple question, is there a way for me to save money with the purchase I make at your establishment? And I really do recommend doing that wherever you go. It doesn't have to be combative, and it's nothing to feel uncomfortable about. Perhaps there is a coupon that you weren't aware of. Why not save 10% or something on your purchase? I'm not encouraging taking out a credit card for that purpose, but I am encouraging asking if there's a coupon or a discount that the store clerk could give to you to make your purchase even less.
Excellent. That's very helpful. Leslie Tain, ladies and gentlemen, founder of Tain Law Group, attorney and debt therapist. The book, Learn to Love Your Debt, Life and Debt, A Fresh Approach to Achieving Financial Wellness, lifeanddebtbook.com. We'll grab a quick break, and we'll be right back with Leslie. Stay right there.
Hi, I'm Teresa Rand with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. Our Y has 6 locations to help you reach your health and fitness goals. With a focus on healthy living, youth development, and social responsibility, there are many different options to get your family involved, such as sports, swim, exercise, and much more. For more information on how your Y can help with your health and fitness goals, check out www.vfymca.org.
And we are back. Leslie Tain on the line, founder of Tain Law Group, attorney and debt therapist. And I tell you, I really appreciate the time, Leslie, because this is some interesting stuff. I want to, before we leave this subject of deal making, and again, this may sound like I'm getting back to my comment about just doing it on Amazon, but one of the things that I'm always mindful of, and I'm sure you are as well in the work that you do, I'm always aware of my time and what it's worth. And, you know, I only have so much of it. And if it's not at work, then it's usually family or exercise or maybe some other hobbies. But I only got so much. So, you know, yeah, maybe I can go save 10 bucks on something by driving across town. But what is my time worth and gas and all these other things? So I think that sometimes people forget that in this hustle and bustle. And again, I know that there's excitement in it, but we value our time as well and be aware of that because, there's only so much of it.
That's true. I agree, and I believe time is money. The value of time with your family and even the time off from work should be spent doing things that are pleasurable. Again, if you enjoy the crowds and the shopping and that time of year and the rush of being up in the middle of the night to go shopping, that's one thing. But I agree to go across town, to deal with traffic, to take time away from the family, to save a couple bucks. You have to really ask yourself if that's really worth it, because there is a cost to everything that you do. There's a cost to getting in the car. There's a cost to the drive. And that's something that, and the time that it takes in the stores this time of year.
Yeah.
So definitely ask yourself that. I totally agree. My time is so limited with working and kids and everything else. It's something to think about.
Absolutely. Well, you know I'm thinking about it, right? I'm very aware of that. Well, let's go to another subject, which is a little related. How about jumping the gun and getting started, maybe by shopping early, that might let us save some money later? What are some of the strategies there that you think we should be thinking about?
Oh, I definitely think you should strategize about shopping early. I mean, right as soon as the kids go back to school that time of year, the fall is coming. It's a good time to start thinking about what it is that you're going to be shopping for, so it's not a last-minute rush. And I say always make the list early, especially when you have family members that are living with you. It's a good way to listen to the things that they ask for. I know I have 3 children, and I often listen to the things that they want, and I make a note of that. So I say, all right, these are some things that I can then purchase for the holiday season. And in my travels and in my shopping, I can find those items at good prices without having to stress at the end, am I going to even find the item? And what am I going to pay for it when I do find it? So definitely think about it early. Make the list early. Start going online and subscribing to some newsletters. Retailers tend to provide their subscribers with special deals and alerts on upcoming sales. So if you know you're going to buy electronics, perhaps you want to go to an electronics store and sign up for their newsletter so that you can be the first to know about the deal on the item that you want.
Good. Very good. Well, I think you hit the real key point is by having a strategy. Of course, you have a plan and you have a budget and you have all these things, and it's not impulsive, and it's not in, again, the hustle and bustle, and it's just being very focused on what you're doing, which a lot of people are in a lot of other areas of their life. Sometimes when it comes to shopping, the excitement takes over, but I think that's all great stuff to be thinking about. Now, how about getting your head around all this? You know, I know that you've also written a blog about the cognitive biases that can kind of mess up your financial well-being. What are some of those that we may not even be aware of that just mess with our head and keep us from being smart about our money?
There are a number of things that do mess with your head when it comes to shopping, especially when you're impulsive about your shopping. So you're in a store. I know I get this feeling. You walk in a store and you all of a sudden feel overwhelmed, and you feel like your thought process has been drained out of you, and that happens in the larger stores. So one of two things happens. You can find yourself overwhelmed, and then you just walk out and you don't get what you need. Or you can find yourself so overwhelmed that you go through with the shopping experience and you end up purchasing things that you didn't even need because mentally you've somewhat checked out of the shopping process and you're just impulsively buying what you see right in front of you. So that's something to be really aware of. I mean, what the impact of the shopping experience has on you when you go into a store. I know for me, for example, I don't love the large crowds, so I would prefer to be done sooner rather than later with the shopping so that I don't have to find myself in a store during the holiday season, because it's just not a comfort level for me. Other people are totally fine with it, don't mind the lines, and can think clearly. But if you find yourself in this situation where you can't, you really need to go in with a list and pay really close attention. But also that translates into finding yourself having something called the ostrich effect. When you found yourself dreading your bills, that you'd rather just throw them away and just ignore them. So it's the same kind of concept of burying your head in the sand.
Okay.
And it has an impact, and really a negative impact, on your financial well-being. So if you don't pay attention to what you're purchasing and then subsequently you're not paying attention to your bills, all of that will have a negative impact on not only your credit but your financial well-being.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to keep your head about you with all this stuff, and I'm with you on the crowds and the people, and I just immediately, I can't help it. I have this flashing yellow light in my head that just continues to flash, and I'm doing constant, I know this sounds crazy, but my mind just, I can't turn it off. I'm doing threat assessments. It's just too many. Just too many people, and I'm looking around, and I'm, you know, so, and I'm also the guy. You'll laugh at this, Leslie. I'm also the guy that when, you know, you walk in a store, they, you know, most people say when the salesperson comes over, they say, you know, how can I help you? And a lot of people say, oh, I'm just looking, I'm just browsing. I'm like, I am so glad you're here. Here is what I need. Help me find it, please.
I get it. And yeah.
Is there a shortcut?
Sales help can be really beneficial to you, but yeah. There's a double-edged sword with sales help.
Yeah.
It depends on the store that you're in. You don't want to be oversold
of
in
course.
The items that you're purchasing.
Right.
So, you know, that's sometimes setting boundaries when you're working with salespeople is important.
Yeah.
Saying to them, I'm coming in for this one item. This is what I'm looking for, and I'd appreciate if we could stick to just purchasing this one item.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You let them know up front.
Yeah.
I like it.
I think
very
that's
good.
Important this way. Again, you don't want to be a victim of being oversold because somebody speaks well, they know their products really well, and you walk out with three additional items that you really didn't need. And
mm-hmm.
that tends to happen when you're you're kind of out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, for me, when I walk into an electronics store, I want a television, but I don't really know too much more about the fact that I want a particular type of television, and I could easily get the feeling of being overwhelmed and being told that, oh, no, well, you don't just want a television. You want a television with this feature, and this feature, because
right.
this is why you need to have that.
Right, right.
And that's something to think about, too. And sometimes doing your research ahead of time before you walk in a store is really beneficial. So you're comfortable and familiar with the lingo, and you are but you don't want to become overconfident, because as you become more proficient in your financial decision-making, you do tend to find that you'll make less mistakes, but you want to remain aware that, you know, mistakes can happen if you are if you allow outside sources to be impactful.
Yeah.
So just think about what you're doing and be aware of it and research it a little bit ahead of time. It's so easy. You can even do it on your smartphone.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's why they call it a smartphone, if you use it correctly. Leslie Tain, ladies and gentlemen, founder of Tain Law Group, attorney and debt therapist. The book, Learn to Love Your Debt, Life and Debt, A Fresh Approach to Achieving Financial Wellness, lifeanddebtbook.com. And also, because she's an attorney, she's got a website for that as well, attorney-newyork.com. Quick break. We'll be right back with Leslie.
What if in the time it takes you to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? Well, if you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. It's as simple as that. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? And there's no cost or obligation to meet with David. All you need to do is simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN, or visit planstronger.com for more information. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
Hey there, we're back. Leslie Tain on the line with us, and she's an attorney and debt therapist, as I mentioned before. The book, Learn to Love Your Debt, Life in Debt, A Fresh Approach to Achieving Financial Wellness, lifeanddebtbook.com and attorney-newyork.com. So how about this, Leslie? We've got a little bit of time left here. I'd love to spend it with you talking about some of the bad money habits. I know you've also written about this, and these are the ones that people absolutely positively, they got to kick this habit. They can't fool themselves or play games with themselves, you know, the mind games, if you will. And so what are the big ones? What are the top three? And let's kind of dig into each one a little bit, if you would.
The three worst money habits that you have to kick are ignoring your bills. That when they come, people get frightened of them. They don't want to open them. They know they're going to have to pay them. So if you ignore the bills when they come, that is a huge mistake. You really have to face that head on, be aware of it, and make a pact to yourself that I know I'm not comfortable with this, but it's something I have to be aware of and looking at it. Another one is, and one of the biggest mistakes that I see in my regular law practice, is not being aware of your finances. Mm. So I often ask the question to clients, how much money is coming in and what's going out? If you cannot answer those questions, then you're making a very big mistake in managing your finances. So that habit would be ignoring what's going on financially in your household. Mm-hmm. So it's important to be aware of how much money comes in, and that's the difference between gross income, less taxes becomes net income, and knowing what your expenses are. What are is your rent or your mortgage payment, your car payment, your insurance, your food, any other bills, your cell phone bill, things that you just want to buy, impulse purchasing. If you're not aware of what that is off the top of your head, it shouldn't be that complicated. It's not a corporation. It's a personal financial situation. If you don't know those, you need to know those. So be aware. Write them down. This is the perfect time of year to do that, because now one should be able to figure out how much money do I have to spend this year on gifts. And you don't know how much you have to spend unless you take a look at your income and your expenses, and then not only your current expenses, but what can you expect January 1st? Because remember, the bills are going to come in January for what you spent in December. So you want to be aware, in January, do I pay my life insurance in January? Do I pay my homeowner's insurance in January? And you just want to be aware of those things so that you're not sidelined when the time comes. So not being aware is a really bad money habit. And there are a few more that I really believe are impactful. Cycling your debt without fixing the real problem.
So
what that means is people tend to borrow more to fix a problem and without understanding what the underlying issue is. So I liken it to the example of being sick. So you feel like you have a cold, but you really don't have a cold. You have something that requires you to go to the doctor, but you go to the drugstore and you buy cold medicine, but you don't get better. And it gets worse, and then you get a cough, and then all of a sudden you just really are really not feeling well, and it turns into bronchitis. And then you finally go to a doctor when you're really sick. It's the same when it comes to finances. The reality is that unless you figure out what the underlying issue is it a virus or a bacteria? Is it overspending or is it overborrowing? Until you understand what's going on in your finances, to make a decision to fix it is going to be the wrong decision. Most people knee-jerk reaction to financial issues is to borrow. They borrow from their home. They borrow from 401ks or other retirements without, again, understanding the underlying issue. And those are almost always the worst mistakes you can make, because you're just borrowing more without fixing the underlying issue.
You can't say it much more clearly than that, Leslie. That's very good. And, you know, the balance transfers, and, you know, these companies are not giving away money for free. They know that a certain number of people are going to have to end up paying the higher rates when those free or 0% or whatever it is. And people need to watch that. And if somebody
no
is...
No doubt on that, for sure. The balance transferring is a shell game. Eventually, it catches up with you.
Right.
You have to pay a balance transfer fee when you're balance transferring the money. And I tell people, if you compute the interest that you're paying over the course of the year, because remember, the balance transfer is only good for a certain time period. So take that time period, take the balance, multiply it by the interest on the current card. Is it more or less or equal to the balance transfer fee? And that's the decision that you need to make when you're making the balance transfer, except most people look at it like, I'm just going to balance transfer for 0% interest card, and then I don't have to pay it. But then you have a tendency to spend on it and not budget to pay that off within the time frame of the expiration of the introductory rate. And generally, that is an inducement by the credit card companies to get you into a new card with a higher rate at the end of the period of time. So there's so much going on there. It's really much more complicated than the public sees, but it seems good. I have a 0% interest, and now I don't have to pay the bill, but that's really not a great way of thinking. It's the same thing with borrowing from your retirement.
Yeah.
It's so easy to do. You just sign on the dotted line and get the money, and so many clients come to me after they've done that, but they end up owing themselves money or owing the IRS, and they're back in credit card debt.
Yeah, well, you know what's interesting about the credit card, the transfer, and the 0%? Something that people don't realize, and I know you're very aware of this, Leslie, if they've got a 0% on that card and they've used it to transfer from another card, they need to then take that card that's got the 0% transfer on it out of their wallet, because if they start using it, the credit card company is going to apply any payments you make toward the 0%, and you end up having new charges that you're paying interest on because you can't get to the new charges until you've paid off the transfer.
That's true. That's correct. It's very good advice. It's being aware of the finances that you're taking on. So when you take on a debt, credit card, loans, any of those, and most importantly, of course, is knowing what you're taking on. What does it mean at the end of the process? What does it mean when I, you know, pay this bill or not pay this bill? Or if I defer it or if I hold off, am I going to be able to pay it at the time? You know, these are big decisions to make. They're not easy decisions, and sometimes they're made very quickly by people in the spur of the moment when they're going through a difficult time. And when you're going through difficult financial times, you can't think straight. You're very stressed out. You're overwhelmed. Your decision-making is not as clear as it would be if everything was fine. So
those
circumstances, before you take things like that, have a good conversation with somebody who's really experienced in the area of managing debt, not just finances, but managing the debt part.
Well, we've got about a minute left, Leslie, and I want to hit one final point kind of related to all these with the money habits and maybe some of the mistakes. We got it. We can't ignore. This is my favorite one that people have to watch out for, is spending money to earn more reward points.
Mm-hmm. It's certainly exciting to get the reward points, there's no doubt. And the credit card companies have found a way to make it an excitement. But again, you can spend more to get the reward points, but if you can't pay the bill, the negative impact on your credit and finances is the reward points are not going to help you at that point. And if you default on that credit card, you will lose your reward points.
That's right.
So you've done all for nothing.
That's really boils it all down right there. So be very careful as you enter the holiday season and heed Leslie Tain's advice. Be careful and pay attention. And you know what? Pick up a book. The book is Learn to Love Your Debt, Life in Debt, A Fresh Approach to Achieving Financial Wellness. Visit the website. A lot of great information, including Leslie's blog, lifeanddebtbook.com. And if you need to talk to her about some legal aspects with your debt, attorney-newyork.com, attorney-newyork.com. Leslie, thank you so much for coming back and being with us. Great program. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.